Hello, everyone, and welcome to War of the Stars, a Star Wars podcast. Coming to you, as always, from deep within the Outer Rim, far beyond the watchful eyes of the Galactic Empire. Excuse me. My name is John Mark Tolley, and joining me, as always, is my co-host,
Garrett K. Jones.
Okay, Garrett, how are you today, sir?
I am good. I am very good. It's been a day, but you know, it's been a productive day.
Yeah, that's those. Hey, I always say when people ask me how my day has been, I usually or used to say it could be better, or it could be worse, because your day can always be better, but then it can always be worse.
This is very true.
Yeah, it's all how you look at it.
It's about the Schrodinger's cat experiment.
Yes, or it's all about your point of view.
A certain point of view.
Yes.
So what are we talking about today, John?
Today we are talking about the newest episode of Bad Bat.
Yes.
A different approach. Speaking of a different point of view, a different approach.
Yes, yes. So the episode description on Disney Plus says, stranded in dangerous territory, Omega and Crosshair must work together.
Yes. I really like this episode. I have a feeling that this season is going to be light on filler episodes. I think every episode is going to be leading up. I could be wrong, but it just feels
the storyline is tighter this season than it was last season. It felt like last season they were meandering around. This one's a lot more focused. I will say, though, after the initial week when episodes 1 through 3 were launched, the thing that I found interesting is that there were some people online who were saying that it felt like there was filler episodes and it doesn't just jump right to the content. I'm like, no. This was well paced. It's well written.
Yeah.
You know, 3 episodes to get Omega out of the facility. And it's not like she did it on her own. She had help.
Yeah.
From inside. But you could see her constantly trying to work with Crosshair to make that happen. And now we get to see, this is one of the rare episodes where Omega and Crosshair were actually working together.
Yeah.
Where Crosshair was not begrudging of her help. Like, he was impressed with her skills playing Sabacc. He was, you know, he listened to what she had to say. But at the same time, she listened to what he had to say. It was this learning opportunity for the both of them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, shall we start from the beginning with them going through hyperspace and with a damaged ship? And
yeah, I mean, I thought it was interesting because it's one of the rare occasions where we get to see like a damaged starship traveling through hyperspace and then coming out the other end. And then, you know, obviously they crash land, but I'm like, given how far they fell from orbit to the planet side, like there's no way you're walking away from that without some level of plot armor.
Yeah. The greatest armor of all, plot armor.
I know. Right. Like that's like Anakin level of, Anakin levels of plot armor right there. They have to survive because the story needs them to.
Yes. Yes. That we could talk all about the inherent problems with prequels of, you know, these people are going to survive, or you know, these people are going to die.
Right. Because they're not in the next movie.
Or they are in the next movie. So.
Yeah. I think the whole thing, this one, I love the way that the pacing went, where they crash land, they're on this planet. Obviously there's an Imperial presence there because the Imperial is ubiquitous at this point. But what I thought was interesting is that the illegal gambling den was co-opted by, of course, the Imperial commander there.
Yeah, yeah. I loved through so much of it how Crosshair has this he just can't be bothered with an attitude. Like, even when it comes to putting on, you know, at least like we need to blend in, he's like, fine. Like, he has that type of like, if I have to.
Yeah.
Like, he would be perfectly happy just walking it through in his old clone armor. Like, what?
Yeah. It's like, dude, we can totally tell that you're a soldier. We can totally tell that you're a clone. There's something different about you.
Yeah.
You have no sense of humor.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was probably one of the highlights for you for this episode?
Oh, just the that this kind of growing relationship and growing respect between Crosshair and Omega. Like,
yeah,
this sort of budding relationship. I wouldn't call it a friendship yet, but this budding relationship that they have. And and we're slowly seeing the maturity of Omega, like how she's grown so much from how she was in the first episode to how she is now.
Yeah. And there is definitely maturity there, but I think also because of what she was seeing and what she was experiencing in lockup,
mm-hmm.
like that there's a level of innocence that's been kind of stripped away from her.
Yeah. Yeah. And my daughter pointed something out, and I never thought about this, but if you go by actual age, Omega's mm-hmm. older. She's older than Crosshair. Because I don't believe she went through the modified genetic aging.
The accelerating cloning process. The
accelerating growth. So whereas like they could be like, you know, I don't know how old they would be, but yeah, Omega is technically older.
Yeah, chronologically.
The clones would have gone through like the accelerated aging process, but I don't think Omega did. I think much like Django, she was unaltered.
You mean Boba?
Boba, yeah, she was unaltered.
Yeah, I think you might be right there because I mean, it's not something that's been explicitly said, but I think it would make sense considering the fact that, you know, all the other clones around her are adults, and she's the only, until we meet Emery Carr, she's the only female clone that we're aware of.
Yeah.
And she's, you know, she's the only one that's a child still.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I think your daughter landed on something really, really crucial there.
And I also like the fact that I think we spent very little time with
Hemlock.
Because I don't think that, I think this story needed to be just Omega and Crosshair on this planet trying to get away.
And I like the fact that like Hemlock is like one or two steps behind. Like he's getting close, but just when he thinks he's gotten there, he's not sure exactly where they are. Like he's desperate. And I think the rest of the season is going to help elevate that desperation that he has because he wants to be on the Emperor's good side. He knows what happens when Palpatine's left unhappy. He knows what's at stake here. And he has done everything he can to rise through the ranks to get to this point. What was a low point for you in the episode?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I have a low point of it. What about you?
As far as a low point, I think, and this is more from a storytelling perspective than anything else, I feel like there is far more telling going on in the episode than there is showing. Like, with animation and television and all that being a visual medium, it is far more, it's far better and far stronger in the writing process if you let what happens on the camera, or in this case, the animation cell, to take place, and let that help tell the story, where the dialogue fills in the gaps.
Yeah, I think a good example of showing and not telling in this very, very episode, not to jump ahead, was the very end with the reaction of Wrecker and Hunter to seeing Crosshair.
Yeah.
Like you see you see Hunter's fist ball up.
Oh yeah.
Like you see that, that reaction of they're not sure what to do.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was emotional. I mean, kind of got a little emotional while watching Omega get back with her brothers, and then their reaction to seeing Crosshair. It was just very, very visceral, and like it was, there, nothing was said.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's stuff said when Omega, reunites with them, but yeah, that's just because they're catching up. They haven't seen her in months. But the other person that they haven't seen in months is Crosshair. The last time they saw Crosshair, he was shooting at them.
Yeah.
And now here he is. And what is there to say? Because, there's so many conflicting emotions. There, on the one hand, you've got Hunter and Wrecker who are incredibly happy that Omega is back.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, they're now coming face to face with someone that they considered a potential enemy.
Yeah. And at one time also a brother.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a sense of betrayal. There's a sense of abandonment. There's a lot of conflicting emotions all happening in the span of like 30 seconds. And I think that was really good writing on the part of the crew. And I mean, I think the thing that really helped sell it is D. Bradley Baker doing the voiceovers for all the clone characters. And he is just knocking it out of the park, switching back and forth. And I know that he's recording them at separate times. He's not doing them all in the booth by himself like that. But the fact that he's able to play these characters so well is
a testament. I've always said that even during the Clone Wars, that even though it was technically the same voice, you could tell the difference between the way, let's say Rex talked and the way Cody talked. Like you could just hear them talking, like, "Oh yeah, that's Rex. That's Captain Rex. Oh yeah, there's Cody. There's Fives."
Yeah, there's definitely a difference in the way that characters are portrayed. But I gotta say, Hemlock has quickly become one of my favorite antagonists for this series. Like, he is a very driven character, and the delivery by Jimmy Simpson, like Jimmy Simpson has this capability and this capacity for playing really unhinged characters.
Yeah.
Like he's really good at being funny and being goofy, but then he can turn around on a dime and change that up. And I think one of the best examples of that, like, did you ever watch the show Psych?
Yes. A little. I've watched a few episodes. My mom really was a fan.
Going into like seasons 4, 5, and I want to say 6 or 7, they introduced this antagonist for the cast called Mr. Yang.
Mm.
And it's a serial killer character, and the expert that works with the police is a character named Mary Lightly. Played by Jimmy Simpson, and Jimmy Simpson, he comes off as being this weirdo and this, he's like completely obsessed with the case, and he's a complete goofball. But there are these moments where you start to doubt if he's innocent in all this, that maybe he's actually the serial killer, and it's because of this brilliant delivery by Jimmy Simpson. He goes from being that quirky, goofy character to being like, you kind of want to watch your backs and make sure that you're armed.
Yeah. What did you think of the sort of the antagonist we had for this episode? The kind of the Imperial commander that was kind of the governor of the city.
I liked him, and but correct me if I'm wrong, did he not strike you as
being like a one-off?
For one-off, he was fine. Like he was. I legitimately had a visceral reaction where I just wanted to punch the guy because he was. You knew.
Yeah. He definitely had that sort of, like you saw him. You're like, he has the prototypical, just what you think of when you think of a bloated bureaucrat who was given a position that he probably didn't earn.
Right.
Yeah, and you knew what was kind of like when they start playing Sabacc together, and you're like, oh, this is not going to end well. This is not, you know. Although I did like that they didn't just, you know, when he loses, you know, him cheat and then, you know, or something like that, they just send in the stormtroopers automatically, where he kind of turned around like, oh yes, this is illegal. You can't do this here, so you owe a fine.
Yeah. And
yeah.
Well, and the funny thing is I'm looking to see who this guy is.
Yeah.
Because the character reminded me very much of Hux.
Yes.
And I'm trying to look it up. So Brendel Hux, was the father of General Hux. And I'm looking to see where what appearances he had. Because it feels like this commander was the same guy, or at least somewhat related to him. Am I wrong on that?
I don't know. Does it saying what the name character's name was?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. I'm looking here. That's not helping. Bad Batch 304. Let's see here. All cast and crew. Let's see here. We've got Shell Aang is Omega. Oh, his name was
His name was what?
No, not by sound roll around part. If I could just find the, hold on. I just figured out something that'll help me here. Should have had this loaded up before we start recording. But I just thought he looked very similar to a particular, particular character that was related to Hux. Captain Man is the guy's name. Captain Man. He's not related to any Hux.
Yeah.
So there goes that theory. Oh, well.
Anyway.
Yeah. Yes. Anyway. So moving on.
Yes.
How would you rate this episode? Like, if you're giving it, you know, 10 stars, or whatever, how would you rate it?
Maybe out of 10, a solid 8. I don't think it was like a perfect episode.
Mm-hmm.
But there was no like glaring. I didn't see any big glaring flaws in it. It moved the story along well. There was a lot of care. I felt there was a good character development between the main characters. And you know, it was just a fun episode. And I loved at the end. I loved at the end when she's trying to do, you know, try everything she can, and finally she just turns like, "Okay, we'll do it your way."
Yeah,
and Crosshair's like, "Finally."
Yeah, I really like that. I think they did a really great idea, like just the fact that they learn from each other and they allowed for each other to kind of fill in with their own tactics. I think it was pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely was. So we're looking forward to the next episode then,
which will be Wednesday.
Wednesday, yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. For me, I would actually rate the episode, I'd say probably about an 8.2.
Yeah.
The average episode or the average rating for this episode on IMDb was 7.9. So I think we're giving it a little bit more praise. But this was a good, fun episode. Very emotional. And so I'm looking forward to seeing what comes next.
I think it was also good. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily call this a Liper episode, but to kind of have this kind of fun adventure type episode after like what we've had the first three episodes, it was kind of nice to have this kind of like, you know, a little bit more fun of an episode with them kind of getting into hijinks and trying to
Well, and the thing I really like about this one, jumping back onto the writing, is the fact that you know, in the last two seasons we have seen evidences of Omega's skills and aptitude for gambling, and being able to like count cards and prepare for you know, some kind of bluff or anything like that, and the fact that she did so well against, you know, a local professional gambler as a kid, and then you know, completely decimated a cheating scumball of an imperial officer in one sitting, it just like, I love how we get that scaffolding of character development. It's not like she goes from being like a junker on a desert wasteland to being like an expert ace pilot of a Corellian YT freighter in one scene. You know, there's something that has shown buildup, and that's what is good to see.
Which, I mean, I will admit, sometimes that can be hard to do in movies, to show that progression.
Right.
I think, you know, not to kind of go on, but I do think that, like, people will point out, like, well, you saw that in The New Hope with Luke, but then Luke made the comment of that he grew up flying T-16s back home.
Right.
So you have that one line that shows, like, oh, yeah. And later on, you find you will, if you learn, read any of the other material, you learn that the X-Wing was built specifically to have very similar controls to the T-16. And so that it was very easy for a novice to just jump in and fly it.
Right, right. So I like the fact that the storytelling there was really well scaffolded going into this.
Yeah. What do you think? What are we looking forward to in the next episode, do you think?
I think the thing I'm looking forward to most is seeing how Hunter and Wrecker respond to Crosshair's return.
Yeah.
It'll be really cool to see if they are willing to forgive him, if they're, you know, what their initial response and reaction is. Because obviously, I mean, their initial reaction is very, very mixed right now. And so I'm curious to see how these, how this bridge is going to get rebuilt, if it will be at all.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much what I'm looking forward to.
Me too. Me too. All right. Well, I think that will kind of wrap things up for this week. Once again, thank you all for joining us here on War of the Stars. Garrett, why don't you tell the people out there where they can find you at?
Awesome. Well, you guys can find me on a couple of different platforms. You can find me on Instagram and X at GKJ_publishing, where I am talking about my books, The Archives of a Scene Korean. It's an ongoing fantasy series, 5 books deep. As well as I promote my a couple of my other shows. I have a show on YouTube called The Right Way, and where we talk about book recommendations, author interviews, and creative writing tips. I do one big episode a month right now, and then I break up the segments into their own individual playlists and release those the following week. You can find me by just searching for GKJ Publishing on YouTube. And then I'm doing another podcast independently called Storytellers. And the subtitle for this one is called Dealing with Divorce. And the whole goal is to help those people who are in the process of thinking about divorce or struggling in their marriage or whatever, to kind of hear from my experiences and my story and hopefully find healing in their own lives.
Yeah. As for us right here, if you want to get a hold of us, of course, the best way is through our email, warthestars1@gmail.com is there. There's also our handle on X, formerly Twitter. You can check us out there at War of the Stars 1. All other social medias, you can find us at War of the Stars. Just look for War of the Stars, a Star Wars podcast. We are, of course, a part of Geek News Now. Go to geeknewsnow.com for more information. We're on all platforms as far as podcasts go. Just check out Geek News Now, and you'll be able to find us there. Other shows, of course, we have Star Wars Guys of a Child, which will be returning. We're going to try to record our first episode this week. Now that my time's a little bit more free, I have a little bit more time to do that. So that will be returning. And that's about it for right now. So as always, remember, this is not just my Star Wars. This is not just your Star Wars. This is our Star Wars. Until next time, may the Force be with you.
This is the way.